one week after Ash Wednesday, the church observes what has been called her annual Jonah Mass. It's easy to see why this might be called the Jonah Mass, because the first reading is from the prophet Jonah, and in the Gospel, Jesus very deliberately compares himself to Jonah, and he compares the people of his generation to the people of Nineveh. Now, maybe because we live in modern times, or maybe because I live in a modern time, one of the things that stood out as I reflected on these readings, especially the Gospel, is how negative it sounds. That seems to be a preoccupation among modern people. You're not supposed to sound negative. You're not supposed to say things that sound judgmental. And Jesus here stands up and says to a very large crowd, a growing crowd, this generation is an evil generation. It starts out with a very negative statement. This is an evil generation. And then he goes on to say that this generation will be condemned by a previous generation. So evil, condemnation, sounds pretty negative. Can you imagine a preacher or any public figure standing up and saying this is an evil generation? The immediate reaction would be, well, who are you? Why do you talk like that? Why are you so negative? We've been told again and again not to be negative, not to cut people down, not to be judgmental, not to emphasize what is contradictory, but rather to be affirming. I remember when I was in college and we had courses in education, one of the things we were recommended to do is when we correct students' homework or their tests, we should not put red X's on the wrong answers, we should put blue circles around the correct answers. I don't know if that's still in education policy, that's a long time ago already, but the idea was, don't emphasize what the students get wrong, count up what they do right. So don't start with, if you have 10 wrong answers and you subtract 10 from 100. No, count up 90 good answers and say you have 90 points. Now, I don't know. That always, even then, that struck me as being a little bit exaggerated. But in our times, we live by a very obvious double standard. On one hand, we're not supposed to be negative, we're not supposed to be judgmental, we're not supposed to condemn anybody. But on the other hand, we condemn and criticize and even cancel people who disagree with us. So it's not only that we are say we're supposed to be very affirming, but when we're not affirming, we're so critical, and the culture is so critical, that if anyone disagrees, well then they can be completely erased from the conversation. So one extreme to another. Well, Jesus doesn't fall into any of that, and the Gospels in general are not afraid of saying negative things. So Jesus says, this is an evil generation. This is an evil generation, and it's worse than the time of Jonah. The generation, the people of Jonah's time will condemn this generation. If you look at Jonah, remember, even though Jonah himself is no great model of goodness, he's quite a disobedient and reluctant prophet, his ministry was extraordinarily fruitful. The city of Nineveh was both enormously large and also notoriously evil. So it was also an evil generation. And part of Jonah's mission was to identify for them that they were an evil generation. In fact, his whole message when he got to Nineveh was, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Well, that's a pretty negative thing to say. But it worked. So now let's reflect a little bit on what Jesus is doing here. It, in some ways, doesn't matter if this generation or that generation or the city of Nineveh is notoriously evil. What matters is whether they or we repent or not. That's what matters. So it's not a comparison about who's more evil. It's a comparison about who's ready to repent. And that's the challenge that Jesus puts before us. Those people in Nineveh, they were notoriously evil pagans. They repented in one day. What about you? That's what he's saying. So he's not condemning at all. He's calling us, he's calling his own generation and calling us to repentance. If you want to emphasize what's positive here, what's positive is Jesus himself. You have something greater than Jonah here. Talk about himself. Greater than Jonah. And if Jonah had such an extraordinary effect on the evil city, how much more should Jesus have a positive effect on the current generation and on the rest of human history? Unless we're worse than the Ninevites. Jesus very deliberately proclaims himself greater than Solomon. Solomon is the famous wise man of the Old Testament. Well, who's wiser than Solomon? Jesus. So it's not entirely a negative gospel. It's also an extraordinarily positive gospel, pointing out what a great, what a holy, what a wise, what an effective prophet has arrived in Jesus Christ. But the challenge is still laid on us. Well, if he's that great, if he's that wise, if he's that holy, if he's that effective, are you going to repent or not? If not, well, then you're certainly worse than the Ninevites. Well, this is a Lenten instruction for us. The Ninevites repented in one day. We're on already the eighth day of Lent. We were supposed to repent last Wednesday, and perhaps we did. Thousands and thousands of people came to Ash Wednesday Mass and had their heads marked with ashes. We did what the Ninevites did last Wednesday. But what about after that? What happened? Did we continue to fast and pray? If we think that we're not so bad, that we don't have to fast and pray, there's another motivation which we should not forget. That is the need of others. Even if you're perfect and holy, the world is not perfect and holy, and the world needs fasting and prayer. The obvious case now is the war in Ukraine. Who has a right to say everything's fine in the world? We could point to many other areas of the world, including here in the Philippines, where there's obvious evil reigning. Who has a right to say, I don't have to do anything about it? Who can say, I don't belong to an evil generation? No, all of us are responsible. All of us have, it might seem like a small role, but all of us have a part to play in the conversion of the world, in the repentance and reparation of the world. So this is part of Lent as well. It's not just about us changing our hearts and being holy, but we're part of the conversion of an evil generation. So let us welcome the wisdom of someone greater than Solomon. Let us welcome the message of a prophet greater than Jonah. And let us turn from our evil ways. Let our hearts be contrite and humbled so that we can experience the great mercy of God.